You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
When we find ourselves in whatever circumstances we're in, I believe that we can turn to the Bible to see how we should respond to that according to God's plan to live our life in His design. And also, I think that the more we read the Bible, the more familiar we become with the voice of God. We become familiar with what He's up to, the way that He works, the way that He interacts with His people. And so the more we read the Bible, the better equipped we'll be to recognize when He's speaking to us, to recognize what He's doing in the world around us. And so I really wanted to have a really great understanding of the Bible, because this is how I want to live my life. And so I thought, if I go to Moreland and I spend 3 years really studying the Bible, learning from some great people, I'm going to come away after 3 years with an inside-out knowledge of Scripture, and I will know what to do in every single circumstance. It didn't quite work out that way. The other reason I think is really important that we understand the Bible really, really well is because Scripture can be used wrongly. One of the things that John Mark Comer references in this week's Practicing the Way video is the story of Jesus in the wilderness. And he shows how Jesus draws on Scripture to respond to Satan when he comes to tempt him. But he also shows how Satan draws on Scripture to manipulate Jesus. And so it's really important, not just that we know the Bible, but that we really understand it. I don't know how many times you'll be aware of, how many times you'll have seen in the world when just terrible things are justified by Scripture. And when we sit down and think about it, we can go, that doesn't match up with my understanding of God. But the Bible can be used, it can be manipulated in the wrong ways. It can tempt us to live outside of God's design when it's twisted and when it's used badly. And this is why we really need, This is why we really need the discipline of study to not just know Scripture, but to really understand it so that we can apply it accurately and faithfully. And so I went to Moreland with this grand plan of, I'm going to know the Bible inside out, I'm going to understand everything about it. And I came away with three things that I was sure of. The first is that I was sure that God is real and active. The second is that I was sure that God is big enough to handle our big questions and our big doubts. We can take them to God and He is big enough for them. But the third, I am absolutely sure that I will never fully understand the Bible. I had a fantastic time. I received some incredible teaching, met some amazing friends, met my husband, which I'm very grateful for. But I will never, ever fully understand the Bible. And honestly, I think that's a real blessing. I think it's such a gift to understand that there is always more. We could spend our entire lives studying this book inside out and know that actually God is infinite and His word is infinite, and there will always be more to bring us to awe. There will always be more to transform us. There's always more of God. And this is why I find this practice really exciting, because there's always something new and we always have an opportunity to go, oh wow, and to be transformed. I find the study of Scripture really exciting. I also find it really hard. And I need these deadlines, like I have to write an essay or I have to preach a sermon or something like that, to make me sit down and do it. It can be really brilliant, really exciting, but also really hard to know where to start. And so my hopes this morning are twofold. The first is that I hope we can get excited. I hope we can go away this morning going, yeah, I want to do this. I don't just feel like I ought to, but I want to, because I can see how it can be exciting, how I can learn something new, how I can find something new of God, and how I can be transformed. And my second hope is that we'll have just a few practical pointers on where to start. Now, there's so much when it comes to studying the Bible. We live in a world where we're incredibly blessed by the resources that we have. And so I can't claim to stand here and give you all of the answers and all of the options and all of the ways that you can study scripture. But today we're going to look at just a couple of practical pointers. And we're going to share some together as well to give us somewhere to start and hopefully to get us a bit excited about it. One of the ways of studying the Bible that I personally find really exciting is something called typology. You might have come across it, you might not have, but it's the idea that the Bible is all joined up. It's the idea that there are stories in the Bible that are real, but that also represent something else that's real on a deeper level. And when we start to notice where these stories and these concepts are joined up, for me, it blows my mind, and that's why I want to share this with you this morning. So we're going to do a couple of very quick-fire mini Bible studies, and I would encourage you not to take this as, like, fully done. Take it away and go a bit deeper with it, go a bit further, because we don't have time to do it properly this morning. But I just want to give you a bit of an idea of what this could look like, because this is one way of studying the Bible that we can do on our own or together. You could just sit down with a Bible and a piece of paper, and this might be something that helps you. One of the easiest ways I find to use this concept of typology is in salvation stories, because we can kind of cheat and we can say, well, we know that Jesus is all about salvation, so we have to find the thing in the story that represents salvation, and then we know that that represents Jesus. So I'll show you. We're going to have a look at this story from Numbers chapter 21. We've got the Israelites, they're in the wilderness, but they've just had like victory in battle, and now they're traveling again. And it says this: they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked up at the bronze snake, they lived. So we've got the people being bitten by snakes, a bronze snake is put up on a pole, and then the people celebrating when they look at the snake and they're not dead anymore. Well, they're not dying anymore. So what did we say? The thing that represents Jesus is probably the thing that offers salvation. Which is the one that offers salvation? The snake. So the bronze snake on the pole represents Jesus. This is our kind of hopefully easiest place to start. So let's go backwards from there. The thing that is causing the problem that they need salvation from is the snakes. What do we need salvation from? Exactly. So the snakes represent sin. They cause pain and they cause death. The Bible says to us that the consequence of sin is death. And then, life. So what I want us to have a look at is we can say, this is what these things represent. But if we carry this metaphor through, what can we learn from this story? The thing that has really struck me is the fact that the snakes bite the people. That's painful, right? It's got to hurt to be bitten by a snake. And then obviously they die unless they look at the bronze snake. And then they live. And the people go to Moses and they say, "Moses, pray that God will take the snakes away." Well, did God take the snakes away? No. God gave them salvation from the ultimate consequence of being bitten by a snake. So they look to the bronze snake and they don't die anymore. But they're still getting bitten. It still hurts. And if these snake bites represent sin, that can teach us that actually our sin still exists in this world, and it still causes pain. We still live in a world that is affected by the pain that sin brings. But when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, as the snake was lifted up on the pole, and we look to him, we no longer suffer that ultimate consequence of sin, which is death. This is like our quick fire introduction to typology. We're going to do another one. This is the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt. So we start off with the Israelites in Egypt. They're in slavery. They're being treated terribly. Then they have this amazing encounter with God where he parts the Red Sea and they travel through it. And then on the final side, they are entering the Promised Land in freedom from the Egyptians. So what's the thing that offers salvation? The path through the Red Sea. This is the thing that represents Jesus. The one on the left is slavery. That represents sin. Because we're in slavery to our sin. It's got this annoyingly addictive nature to just be sinning all the time. And Jesus offers us salvation from sin into the freedom of his promised life on the other side. John 10:10 says, I've come that they may have life to the full. And again, what can we learn if we carry on this metaphor and we think about what these things represent? The thing in this story that strikes me is that that's a path. It's an opportunity, but it's not something that's imposed on them. And they have an opportunity to walk through that path into freedom on the other side. And that means that for us, we might be in slavery to sin, but Jesus has said, look, here's the way. And you have an opportunity to walk through it. You have a choice to walk through it into life on the other side. And that can actually be a really scary choice to make. Imagine standing there. It probably didn't look anything like that. Imagine standing on the shore of the Red Sea with huge walls of water on either side. It might have been dark at the time. I don't know off the top of my head. It would have been terrifying. They've got the Egyptians pursuing behind them, and they have to make this choice. Am I going to walk into this path where I just don't know what's coming? Am I going to trust God with the future of what comes next? And we have that choice. Are we going to trust God to walk into a life of freedom and promise that he offers us? So these are just a couple of really quick examples of how we can use this kind of concept to study the Bible. I would encourage you to go back and look at both of these. Is that me? But I would also encourage you to have a look at some other stories. I find salvation stories the easiest for this because we can look at the thing that offers salvation and assume that it's probably representing Jesus. So have a look at stories like Noah's Ark. Have a look at Rahab in Jericho. And these are stories, these are ways that we can study the Bible on our own. You can do this with a Bible and a piece of paper. You can do it with friends as well, and absolutely do that. But it's also really important. Am I holding this in the wrong place? It's also really important for us to understand that we can't completely rely on, thank you. We can rely on Sean. But we can't completely rely on ourselves to study the Bible completely on our own. And the second thing I want us to understand is that it's important to invite in the expertise of others. Do you remember we said earlier about how scripture can be manipulated? And it can be twisted to manipulate us. And that's why it's really important that we invite in the expertise and the wisdom and the accountability of others in our study of Scripture. And as I said, we're so blessed to have such an unbelievable wealth of resources available to us, more so than at any other time in history. We're not supposed to approach the Bible entirely alone. That can be really valuable. It's an important thing to do, but we do need the community of Christians around us and those who have gone before us in this practice. And in part, that's just because the Bible is complicated. It's just hard to understand sometimes. It's a whole library of loads of different texts in different genres, written in different historical contexts, different languages. There is no way that one person on our own can fully grasp all of this. But when we start to work together, we can draw on one another's expertise, and that can be really powerful. So what if we look to linguistic scholars, people who understand the languages that the Bible was written in, and they might be able to draw out for us things that we just wouldn't notice on our own. Things like the way that emphasis is used in the Bible. We might emphasize something in writing by putting an underline under it or making it bold or in capital letters. In the Bible, things are emphasized in different ways. So sometimes, just by repeating it three times, when you see the words holy, holy, holy in the Bible, it doesn't mean holy, holy, holy. It means holy. It might be that people can draw out for us the way that language is played on. There are parts of the Bible where two words are used that to us look completely different, but in the original language they sound the same, and that draws out a new meaning. We might look to historians, people who understand the context at the time, and it will bring out things that would just go completely over our heads. Do you know the passage where Jesus talks about moving mountains? Do you know that passage? Yeah, good. Okay, people are nodding at me. That's encouraging. Jesus, that story happened in a context where King Herod had literally just moved a mountain. He'd literally had men go out and dig up the earth and move it to a different place. And when you understand like the context and why that happened and the time at which Jesus said these things, it just brings it to life in a new way, and it shows us new meaning that we might otherwise miss. But there's no way that I would know that unless a historian told me, or somebody who'd listened to a historian, which is usually Tim. We can learn from people who know the Bible better than we do, who will just notice ways that it joins up. And we can learn from one another about the way that we can apply passages to the situations we find ourselves in. And this is so important. We need one another to support us as we seek to live this out in our day-to-day lives. We are not supposed to do this alone. We need to hold each other accountable, and we need to support one another. And so in a world that has such a wealth of resources, I cannot stand here and say I have the monopoly on Bible study tools that we can use. And so you guys are going to get involved this morning, I hope. I hope. What we've got, oh, if it's coming, is a Slido. If you've got a phone on you with access to the internet and a camera, scan that QR code. And what I would love you to do is just share some of your best, it might just be one favorite Bible study resource. Something you want to say to everybody else in the room, this is worth using. It might be a particular book. It might be a podcast. It might be a video series. It might be a study Bible that you love. But scan that QR code, and hopefully they will start to appear. Sorry? Is there a way to make it bigger? I don't think so. While this is happening, I just want to share with you guys my top three recommendations. My first one is, if nothing else, get yourself a study Bible. A study Bible is brilliant. It's a normal Bible, but at the bottom of each page, it just has a few lines that explain the text that you're reading. And it can be so valuable. You can get it in, you can get study Bibles in different translations, and that's a really, really helpful way to just start bringing in a little bit of study to our reading of the Bible. My second recommendation is to watch the Bible Project's video series called How to Read the Bible. It might be something that you want to do on your own or with your small group or with some friends. That's a really, really helpful series, and it's referenced in Practicing the Way, but there's a whole series that's really helpful. And my third recommendation, if you are loving your study Bible but you want to go a bit deeper, is to get yourself a commentary. Choose a book of the Bible and get yourself a commentary, which is basically like the bit at the bottom of a study Bible, but it just goes into a bit more depth, and it's like a whole book. And you can get different types of commentaries. Some are more academic than others. Some are a bit more accessible than others. Find one that works for you and have a read. And that can be a really powerful way to read a book of the Bible. Go for it. Oh, yes, there's some for sale. So I'm fully expecting them to be all gone by the end of this morning and loads of money raised. This is fantastic. Are we going to be able to take a picture of this and share it, or just take a photo of it now? This looks brilliant, and there's a lot of stuff up there. Who said hi? Or is that an app or something? No, that's just someone saying hi. Okay. There's a lot of stuff up here that I've not heard of, so I'm going to look some of these up. These will probably keep appearing, but we'll make sure that this gets shared afterwards. Let's go away this morning and let's pick up our Bibles and study them. You might be seeing stuff up here that you are familiar with, and hopefully you're seeing some things that you've not heard of before and that might be helpful for you. And so let's go away and try some new ways of studying the Bible. Let's support each other as we do this. Let's chat to each other about what we're learning. It can be really powerful just to have conversations and share what we're learning about the Bible. But also let's pray. And I'm going to pray for us now as we come out of this time and move into responding and move into our week, hopefully learning from the Bible and being transformed by it. But let's continue in our prayer as we study the Bible as we go forward too. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are real and active and powerful and faithful. And thank you that in your word, you lay out for us how we can live according to your plan and your design. Jesus, we really want to be faithful to you. And we know that to do that, we need to not just know your word, but understand it. And so I pray that you would be with us as we go about trying to do that. Give us wisdom, give us insight. Take us to, point us to the resources that are going to work best for us. Surround us with people who are doing similar things. Bless us with conversations that are going to draw things out for us about your word. And help us not just to know it and understand it, but also to apply it, to make it real in our lives. Help us to live them for you. Amen.
Thank you, Lorna. That was brilliant. It reminded me of something happened when I first went up to Durham to start studying, and they offered a tour of Durham Cathedral. And it was a biblical scholar based at Durham, plus he was a historian as well. And I had been into cathedral before this and just walked around, and it's beautiful. It's a stunning place. You feel the presence of God as you walk in, the thousands of years of Christian practice and meeting together that was there. And it was, you don't need a guide for that. You just walk in and you will benefit. In the same way is that we can pick up the Bible and start reading, and there will be a beauty and a wonder and a revelation of God in that. And yet I went on this tour with this guy, and being a biblical study scholar and a historian, he taught me things about the way that the cathedral was built together, the way the choir was built together for a very, very specific purpose, an aspect of worship. He told me about the history, how Durham Cathedral had become a jail at one point, how it had done many things in its history. So I came out of that with just a so enriched understanding of that place, and it helped me experience God in a greater way. And I think just as Lorna's been encouraging us to pursue the Bible and add in the resources around us, it just can add a depth of meaning and a wonder in experience and a finding of God in a way that is truly beneficial and transformative. So I encourage you. We can grab hold of that and perhaps put it around in the weekly update, but if you want to take a photo of that and try some of those various resources, I would encourage you to do so. Tom and the band, if you want to come up. We're now going to come to our time of communion and worship. And so if you're able to, please stand. And if I just take us back to the living verse. and Lorna picked up on this point at the very beginning, is that we read the Bible not just for information, but for transformation. So let's together to prepare ourselves for worship and remind ourselves of our instruction in the Word about the Word. Let's read James 1, verse 22 to 25 together. Do not merely listen to the Word. What an encouragement to us. What a challenge. Lord, I thank you for the message, the invitation we've received this morning through Lorna to study your word. Thank you that your word, the Holy Scripture given to us is at a top level, a story that points to Jesus. Thank you that it is for our instruction and building up. Thank you that it's a revelation that all that we need to understand you as much as we can. And I pray as we've gone through these past few weeks, Lord, and continue in the coming week, Lord, that by your Spirit you place new desires in people's hearts, Lord, to engage with the Scripture, to read it and to do it, to hear it and to apply it. Help us, Lord, to move from understanding to faithfulness and fruitfulness. Holy Spirit, you're the one who brings the Word alive. You're our guide and our teacher, bringing us into all truth. And I pray for us this week, Lord God. I pray just speak to each one of us about a single verse that we can do this week. Each one of us will have a different context, a different family life, a different social life, a different context. And I pray, Lord, speak to each one of us. And I ask that you give each one of us a single verse to hear and do this week for your glory and for our good. We're going to go into a time of worship now and also communion. We have this weekly practice of coming to the table to be reminded of all that Jesus has done for us. And again, it reminds us that our faith is not just an intellectual faith, but it's a very bodily, embodied, living faith. We eat the bread and we drink the wine. You can reflect on that as you come to it. Jesus in us, us in Jesus, abiding and remaining. So Lord, I pray, help us to prepare our hearts. Your Scripture tells us to do that. Prepare our hearts before we come to receive at your table, Lord God. And I pray, help us to get our hearts right. Help us in this moment to have a moment of confession and repentance for the week past. Don't blow past what's happened in this week, but actually let's stop right now. And in the quietness of your own heart and mind, think through your week. Begin with some confession and repentance, where we sinned against God and sinned against others, and receive His forgiveness. And as we come to the communion table, we lift our eyes once again to the risen and resurrected Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Alpha and Omega, who holds everything together by the word of his power. But let's begin, even as worship starts. Let's have a moment of confession and repentance, preparing our hearts to receive of him. In Jesus' name, amen.